Let us help you take care of your body. And to do that, we bring in our good friend, Dr. Barry Taylor. How are you, sir?
Hey, Ken. Good day to you. We've got a free trip for you to Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, since you love rain so much.
But again, I don't love it so much, but, you know, I do enjoy a rainy day once in a while, you know? I truly do.
It can break up the monotony of the sun, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I much prefer the sun on a regular basis. But, you know, I hate to go. Sometimes I go, maybe two or three times a month to a matinee movie. All right.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that's not, but I hate to go in if it's a sunny day. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
Okay.
But today, you know, I just might because it's a lousy day.
Okay.
But Dr. Taylor is the author of the book, Love Your Body, Your Path to Transformation, Health, and Healing. And we've talked about a number of things in your two previous appearances on the program. And we certainly appreciate you coming on. And today we're going to talk about sustaining healthy weight loss. Because, I'll tell you, I've known so many people, myself included, that have been on weight loss plans in the past. The ad you hear on TV, some of those big companies that try to help you lose weight. And I've been on a couple of those in the past and lose the required weight, lose the weight I want to lose. But then suddenly, not suddenly, but over time, it comes back. It comes back.
Slowly, slowly, slowly.
Yeah.
Ever so slowly back.
Yeah. It's very true.
That's kind of common. Yeah.
That's what I hear from other people as well. Now, recently, like let's say the past 6 months or so, I have not been on a plan of any kind, other than the fact that I've tried to eat better. And most of the time, and I must say there have been a couple of exceptions to this, but most of the time I have been fasting one day a week. And it's kind of helped, I think. I really think it's kind of helped. I know my friend J-Dog here does the same thing. He eats healthy and he fasts one day a week as well. So, and it's working for him.
I'm going to offer you 10 tips, and fasting would be one of the first for the physical body. So as you and I are just starting this segment, when you ask me about the topic of weight, the word weight, what if you were speaking for all sorts of those friends and relatives and people you network and workmates, just so many, we're not talking thousands, we're not talking tens, we're not talking about hundreds of thousands, we're talking about millions of people who are dealing with weight as a concern.
Sure.
What comes to mind mentally or emotionally for you? If you are speaking on behalf of all those people, weight as an issue is what?
It's a very weighty topic. I'll tell you that.
There you go.
But it does. Yeah. I mean, it's like a burden. I've always been slightly to somewhat more than slightly overweight in almost my entire life. And I've been battling this, trying to battle it successfully, but most of the time not.
We're going to have a great talk this morning.
Well, I look forward to that.
So thank you for underlining that for most people, and I grew up as a kid very, very overweight. Huskies didn't fit me. I'd have to go into New York City to get extra Huskies.
That's hard to believe. Looking at you today, that's hard to believe. But I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it.
I'll show you pictures of when I was 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 years old. 16, 17, I started to grow up vertically, and I stopped expanding horizontally. but I promise you, for a solid decade, from when I was 6 or 7, I was more than a little overweight. So I speak from a lot of experience, and I've also now not had hundreds but several thousands of people, where to underline what you said, weight is a heavy topic. Most people, it's really hard. It's a struggle. And then if they can lose weight, how many people do we know keep it off effortlessly? they're always looking over their shoulder, like, when is the weight going to come back?
Exactly. Exactly. So, that puts it very well.
Yeah. So let's see if we can shift that. Some of that is, how do we make weight as a topic, as a learning experience for us human beings, a little lighter? Yes, it's very serious. It's related to diabetes and heart disease and depression and low self-esteem, and there's more stress on the joints and lack of flexibility. I mean, it's not like weight doesn't have an extra burden on the physical body. However, what I'm looking at in the last 40 years of how I've been able to support a lot of people is that there are a number of both, I use the word, contextual shifts that are really important. They need to think of losing weight in a very different paradigm. And what does that mean? Because there are a lot of thoughts, there are a lot of attitudes and emotions that are really not helpful for people if they want to lose weight more effortlessly and keep it off. That's really true. So, ready to go?
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go, Dr. Taylor.
So how do we make losing weight something other than counting calories, fasting? I remember when I met Richard Simmons, remember him from my first time?
Of course I do. I do.
I was in a sea of women. Oh, what a lovely afternoon that was in a hotel ballroom. And, you know, he was this impish, delightful, you know, just delightfully uplifting kind of man. And when he said the following, I said to myself, I'm going to steal that. And so I have. The first three letters of the word diet are...
Die, D-I-E.
So I never use the word, what diet should I use to lose weight? I use the word food plan.
Okay.
It's a piece of the new paradigm that you and I can talk about. It's a way of shifting that we're talking about a food plan so that you can burn weight off as opposed to starve it off.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of physical things that I go through when I'm working with somebody physically to help the body gain health, which is very different than just how do I struggle with losing weight. So one thing that I'm looking at for everybody is stabilizing blood sugar. People are borderline or very hypoglycemic. They come from a world of missing meals, too much pot, too much alcohol, too much sugar, allergies, stress. And I'm working with people, first and foremost, who come in and say, I'd like to lose weight. And then I say, well, don't you have another goal besides losing 5 or 10 or 15, 20 pounds? And so immediately I'm having them, the word is future pace, that their goal is not really to lose weight. Their goal is to keep it off, given the history of the people that you and I know. So from a physical point of view, I test people for levels of chromium, which is what the pancreas uses to make insulin. I take a history. I ask them about dieting, and did this only happen after your first or second or third pregnancy? Did this happen? When did this all start? And if they had a history like me, being sick a lot in my life and buying boxes of Twinkies and Hostess cupcakes and chocolate chip cookies, and they could say, well, I haven't eaten much or any sugar in the last 5, 10, 20 years, I still am looking at, are they grazing? Do they eat healthy snacks? Are they still to some degree a sugarholic? So I use protein drinks, and I have them eat more earlier in the day than later in the day. And I'm looking at their whole physical body in terms of stabilizing blood sugar. That doesn't mean they have to be a teetotaler and never do alcohol. But if in the next 1, 2, 3 months, we're wanting to lose 5, 10, 15, 25 pounds in a way that you get to keep it off and don't keep looking over your shoulders, then I might say, what will work for you? You know, can you cut down alcohol or can you cut it out? Because there are things we're going to get to about suffering and deprivation. If you want to lose weight in a way that, you know, you're going to kind of guarantee, optimize your chances of keeping it off, rather than lose it in a way that kind of optimize your chances for gaining it back.
So it has to be a lifestyle change to a certain degree.
Well, it's a lifestyle change, Ken, in terms of men and women who are looking at this as something important in their life because of their family history of heart disease or diabetes or joints or whatever, is that it's a lifestyle so that we get people out of the mode of dieting. And with the lifestyle is, I know you wake up at X hour and you're out of the house at 5:30 or 6:30 or the power lunches and you're a big Hollywood producer or you're an executive for a company. And whatever your story and your narrative is, the thing is you need to eat smaller meals more regularly in a way where you turn up your metabolism and you start to really feed your organs and your body what it needs so that we can get you into burning the weight. Because the whole paradigm of starving weight and counting calories doesn't work. The second thing is where you, J-Dog, and some other people are getting some good results is I'm very specific in identifying toxins. And so does somebody have a burden of heavy metals? Does somebody have a burden of pesticides or additives or colors? Have they eaten a fairly normal diet in their life? And the amount of sweating they've done, their bowel movements, the way they drink liquids, maybe they don't drink and they don't hydrate enough. Our body is like 78% water. Is detoxing the body successfully, being careful that if you do too much fasting, which, as you know, I've done an enormous amount of, will slow down the metabolism. But the idea that you get your liver, colon, skin, lungs, kidney, bladder to more efficiently clear what you're not peeing, pooping, sweating out under a normal routine of living your life. To identify and clear toxins is a big way of leveraging yourself to lose weight. I've seen it thousands of times where people are just doing protein drinks or they're cutting down something, but they haven't really identified, do you have mercury from too much tuna fish or swordfish? Do you have too much mercury from dental fillings? Have you been using a lot of aluminum pots and pans in your life or a lot of tin foil to bake potatoes and cook things in? If you want to put aluminum foil over something and put it in the fridge, that's fine. But years of using aluminum foil or aluminum pots and pans will give you high levels of aluminum, will not get you in the hospital, but will bind vitamin C, which is one of a number of different nutrients that can help you be healthier. Third, really important. The endocrinologist who taught me, a man named Broda Barnes, an MD endocrinologist, wrote a book called Subclinical Hypothyroid. So in the world that you and I were brought up in the allopathic world, some people have low thyroid. They have T3, T4, TSH when they get a blood draw, and they have dry skin, and they might have a little depression. They might have sluggish bowels. Women have hypothyroid, underactive thyroid more than men. However, this model suggests in this little book, I often loan it to clients, or maybe what I'm about to tell you is enough. I'll tell this to my clients, that there are many people, thousands, tens of thousands, where their T3, T4, TSH is okay in blood, but they have symptoms. One of them is they have a hard time losing weight or they have a hard time keeping it off because their thyroid is not working well. The name of that is called subclinical hypothyroid. It's not showing up in the blood, but you've got symptoms of dry skin, slightly depressed, or maybe just weight. And I address that with herbs, with seaweed. Maybe if somebody does yoga, they'll do a shoulder stand. There are different ways of helping the thyroid work better so that you can get to what I'm calling burning calories. The other piece is aerobics. Walking's good. Watching a great Netflix episode of something hilarious is great. Going to a baseball game or a weekday matinee with Ken Kale, got to be unbelievable fun. I want to go. Can we make a date? And I'll see what I can do to make it rain.
You probably wouldn't eat the buttered popcorn, though.
I would not eat them. I would bring you under my sweatshirt. Is anybody listening to this show? I would bring my own organic popcorn, and because the way I feel about you, I would share it with you and we might get kicked out of the movie theater because we would laugh so much.
Oh, well, it's worth a shot, right? Worth a shot.
Yeah. So exercising aerobically is duh, you know, now be careful because I know a lot of men and women, more women, that are exercising and really moving and don't lose weight. Those are good people to look at in terms of hypothyroid and toxicity and blood sugar, and they're starving, and they think the way to lose weight is to not eat. So they don't eat breakfast, and they eat a little carrots or a small salad for lunch. However, we need to say, in terms of losing weight, in terms of keeping it off, there is something about where are you now, where do you want to be in 3 months, where do you want to be in 6 months, and getting somebody to coach you, guide you, doesn't have to be a lot of money, to move your body and get your heart rate up so that you can shift your body from anaerobic to aerobic. 2, 3, 4 times a week, 20 minutes, you don't have to go to the gym for an hour and a half, but consistently over time to use your heart as a muscle to start pumping nutrients better throughout your body. Last physical thing, and then I'll come up for air so you can ask me a question, is reduce carbohydrates. The less bread, the less pies, the less cakes, the less cookies, the less complex carbohydrates. I mean, you have a salad, that's carbohydrates. You have all sorts of vegetables. You have fruit, those are carbs. But particularly easy, cut out anything that looks like a sandwich. Cut out anything that looks like lots of carbs, especially the empty carbs with white flour and white sugar. And eat way more before 6 o'clock. So if you're eating dinner, don't eat it at 7, 8, 9 o'clock, where that food is just going to sit there. Mm-hmm. Have a much bigger lunch and then have soup or a salad or have something small. But that's not in our culture. You know, our culture is to, you know, so I'm not saying miss dinner, because that plays into what you and J-Dog have found is positive. This fasting is, you know, you don't eat for how many hours. So part of that is when you are eating, not just on your fast day, you know, for 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, just say, I'm not going to do any bread. I'm not doing any cookies. I'm not doing any. That doesn't mean you're not going to do bread and cookies and pie and cakes for the rest of your life.
Right.
We're talking about setting yourself up so that you can lose the weight in a way that will optimize your chances to keep it off. There's more, but I'm going to take a big breath and
All
say,
right.
What do you think so far?
Take a good deep breath, Dr. Barry, and I'll tell you, it's great advice. I really, you know, someone once told me, and you pretty much implied it today as well, eat like a king at breakfast, a prince at lunch, and a pauper at dinner.
Well said. Yeah.
That's what somebody once told me a while ago. Not that I've adhered to it very much, but somebody did. But no, I mean, what you're saying makes total sense. And that's, you know, you're talking about the physical aspects. The mental aspects may be a whole lot more difficult than that.
For some.
Yeah.
But I, as you know, I love to use humor, and I love to be straight, human being to human being. I'm not pontificating because I'm some doctor. Here we are as two humans in a room, or I'm in front of 50 or 100 people or 500 people giving a talk. And it's like, okay, let's now talk about the attitudes and emotions that may be tied in for some people. I mean, it may be that some of the things that I just said from a naturopathic or functional medicine point of view, the detoxing and the blood sugar stability and the thyroid, is all there is. I will tell you that's not common. Those factors are almost always present, but it's only a very few people that if they address those toxins in thyroid and you rule it out, you're a man, it doesn't apply to you, or you're a rare man, it does apply to you. Most people are going to need to look at their relationship to their food or their relationship to their body, and are they using food as their drug of choice? Are they using food to deal with stress or emotions? And do they really treat their body like a friend? Or have they kind of, like a normal person, kind of taken their body for granted? You know, they kind of treat it like a Hyundai, not like a Bentley.
Mm.
And so there are things you and I can talk about when you're ready about tips regarding behaviors and relationship that are more in the healing than in the health aspect. And that was just true for me. A lot of my work came out of, I was in a workshop when I was 30, and I was standing in front of a mirror in a room with 100 people. It was very safe, and it was a week-long workshop I was in, and I was standing in front of a mirror, and this thought came to me that I had not had before. The thought was, I am a fat person in a thin body.
Yeah.
And I realized that all of the years of dealing with not being successful at sports and feeling embarrassed and just feeling uncomfortable in my bodysuit, I had not looked at when I grew up vertically 17, 18, 19. And all through my 20s, you know, I didn't exercise that much, but, you know, I was way thinner than I am now. And I then began to look at, didn't mean I needed therapy, but in my 21-Day Love Your Body program, which is an online program, or one-on-one, I address some of the issues that you and I can now go over next, which I call food issues or body issues.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll coming back, we'll have about 10 minutes left, and we'll cover as much as we can in that amount of time. Dr. Barry Taylor is with us. And always with great advice, the author of Love Your Body, Your Path to Transformation, Health, and Healing. And we'll return with Dr. Barry Taylor right after these words. Kale & Company on 107.7 The Pulse. Dr. Barry Taylor with us. And why don't we pick it up where we left off. And how do we sustain healthy weight loss from a mental aspect?
Well, some of it has to do with how we're eating, not just what we're eating, Ken. So I have this handout I give clients that says, drink your food and chew your liquids.
Okay. Explain.
So I'm asking people to slow down when they're eating. Don't multitask. Sit down. No eating in the car. No eating while you're on the phone. No eating while you're multitasking. I'm asking people to begin to make shifts in this new paradigm as they're inventing and designing new relationships with food, so they start to nourish themselves and really understand about nurturing. So many people chew very quickly. Like, you know, how did that taste? Well, I don't know. I just was starving, you know, because so they inhale their food. That's not horrible, terrible. Nobody should ever do that. But when we're talking about losing weight effectively in a way where you can disappear having a look over your shoulder, wondering if you're going to gain it back, we're talking about relating to your food differently than you have been and really having a different relationship. So I ask people to say a prayer. I'm not religious, but I'm asking people to bless their food and breathe into their body and take a moment before they start eating and to just it can take 5 seconds. Just disconnect from your sympathetic nervous system. Take a nice deep breath. Connect to the parasympathetic nervous system, which generates all your enzymes that are going to help you digest better anyway. So I'm asking people to develop an attitude of gratitude. This is about transforming, not just changing what you eat, as you said earlier. This is a lifestyle. This doesn't mean you never have a cheeseburger for some people. You never have a glass of alcohol and you never have a candy bar. Some people may choose to say, I won't do those again. But that's not what I'm teaching. I'm talking about shifting that is a transformational shift. That's a different show for you and I to talk about what's the distinction between changing versus transforming. And when you're talking about sustaining weight loss, that somebody have worked hard for 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months. I mean, what a tragedy it is that over the next 1, 2, 3, 6 months, they just blow it. Because what it was so many things didn't get looked at as they motored through life, ate quickly, and everything was more important rather than, without making ourselves monks, can we take 10, 15, 20 minutes doesn't mean every time we eat, we light a candle and have flowers and it's all this dining experience. But in the direction of that, can you see the enormity of unconsciousness, the enormity of unawareness of how most people eat, even when what they're eating might be healthier?
Mm-hmm.
They're still not really having identified patterns of overeating in their life, or being forced to eat in their life, or eating when they're upset. And you know, they're, so now that we're not talking about alcohol or sugar or tobacco, but somebody could just eat quantitatively, where they learned in their family system that when somebody gets angry, stop being angry or I'll give you something to be angry about, people overeat. Or they ate quickly, because in school, in the school system, no matter what state in this country we're in, we're kind of like, you know, you got 15, 20 minutes to eat lunch in a, you know, noisy room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so there's a way that we've all been trained to eat very quickly, very unconsciously, and to not enjoy the sensual pleasure of savoring the process of eating. You know, and so I ask people to consider the possibility of when they sit down. And if you're eating in your car, pull over, sit in the lot, don't eat while your car is moving. Just close your eyes and think of the people who planted that, the people who watered that, and the people who picked it, and the people who weeded it, and the people who packed it, and the people who shipped it, and the people who unpacked it, and the people who put it on the shelf. There's just this enormous string of human energy that's allowed you to look down compared to how many people on the planet don't have enough food to eat, which is also another show we can talk about.
Right.
You know, but now we're really talking about, well, how do you encourage this attitude of gratitude? Well, just once, twice, three times a day, take 10, 15, 20 seconds and appreciate all of the human beings that allowed this food to be in your hand or on your plate. Bless the food, really bring the energy in. Hopefully it's more organic. Hopefully it's more healthy. And the other thing, Ken, now that's a process. That's a learning experience.
Sure it is.
That's something that people practice. That's not, snap your fingers and it happens.
But I like it. Attitude of gratitude. It's easy to remember.
Yeah. And now we get a little bit, another layer down, which was true for me, is some people have trouble losing weight. Some people can lose it, but why do I keep gaining, do I keep gaining it back? Well, they've got body issues. We're talking about people who have traumas in their body. It's not safe. Women who have had abortions or miscarriages.
Right.
That doesn't mean, people who've been sick a lot. People have had accidents. People who had parents who are overweight. Well, my father could never lose overweight. So if I lose overweight, that means I'm going to be better than my father. But my mother, everybody in my family was overweight.
We're going to have to pick that up next time, Dr. Barry, because we've got to move on. But we appreciate it, and we'll remember all of the tips that you gave us today, and we will continue it very soon, I promise you.
Thank you for having me on, Ken. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Barry.